IT transformation calls for true collaboration between cross-functional teams, from leaders to developers. Stop reacting to change and start leading transformation. Visit BoozAllen.com/Federal News Radio.
Other transaction authorities, or OTAs, are in vogue now at the Defense Department as a way to speed up acquisition of innovative products from non-traditional companies and not get bogged down in standard rules. But as the Pentagon starts using OTAs for follow-on production deals, issues with transparency and oversight are surfacing. Federal News Radio Scott Mossione has more.
The waters surrounding the Defense Department's new favorite way to buy and develop systems are murky. In the past 3 years, DoD awarded nearly $21 billion in other transaction authority agreements, using the approach to fund prototypes and production for night vision goggles, parachutes that can carry more weight, miniature satellites, and a host of other ideas. But finding out exactly who that money goes to, how it's spent, the parameters dictating the contract, and what actually needs to be delivered to the military is nearly impossible. In fact, information about OTAs is so hazy that no one is quite sure of the total dollar amount the department has spent on OTAs over the past 3 years. In an era when Congress has significantly expanded the military's authority to use the acquisition shortcut. The official answer, according to the Pentagon's Public Affairs Office, is $21 billion between 2015 and 2017. But the authoritative federal spending database, the Federal Procurement Data System, relied on by lawmakers, industry groups, and watchdog organizations, yields a much lower number for the same years, $4.2 billion. That fundamental discrepancy is just one example of the information gaps Federal News Radio found as part of its exclusive special report, Danger at High Speed, The Fog Around OTAs. The precise reasons for why DoD's self-reported figures vary so drastically from the government's databases are unclear, but they likely have something to do with the fact that OTAs, by design, bypass almost every rule in the federal procurement system in the name of speed and innovation.
One of the main concerns is these types of agreements don't operate under the federal acquisition regulations, and there are, you know, numerous contracting provisions that don't apply with these. And so that always creates some problems and creates a risk that we're going to be subject to waste, fraud, and abuse.
That was Scott Amey, General Counsel for the Project on Government Oversight. Angela Stiles, a former administrator for the Office of Federal Procurement Policy and current partner at Bracewell, echoes Amy's concerns.
There's a lot of risk to having no rules. I mean, there's no rules for competition. There's no, protests of them. I mean, none of the things that you would consider just the regular day-to-day oversight of them. I mean, there's nothing that really says they have to be reported other than what may be in the statute for reporting them.
Despite the lack of transparency, Congress continues to expand OTA authority for the Pentagon. In the past, a small number of agencies, such as the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency and the Missile Defense Agency, used the agreements purely for prototypes. But now OTAs are open to the military as a whole and can be used for follow-on, full-rate production agreements, and there's no limit to the size of the deals. Even considering the risks, acquisition officials and industry advocates are pressing forward with OTAs and are reluctant to add too many oversight measures.
We're making use of it, needless to say, and rightfully so. It is a great tool.
That was Lieutenant General Paul Ostrowski, the director of Army Acquisition Corps. Congress created OTAs to bring non-traditional companies with new technologies to the government. Congress hoped that by shoving off all the regulatory barriers to working with the government, the Pentagon would attract businesses that were not interested in working with DoD or were too small to deal with the red tape of the federal acquisition process. OTAs can basically be awarded to just about anyone, but one of the most popular ways is through consortia, made up of companies specializing in one field. DoD will sign an agreement with a consortium and then call on the consortium when it has a need. Deputy Executive Director of Space and Naval Warfare Systems Command for Systems Center Atlantic, Bill DeLine, explains just how consortiums can be helpful.
The consortium, gives you the ability to go execute orders. You got a program out there and they're having trouble with some particular aspect, some piece of their technology is not working. And so you can quickly get into the consortium, ask them for ideas on how to solve that, and that's really good. Now, you can do that outside a consortium, but the other thing, the consortium, if you set this up right and you can encourage unsolicited suggestions for technology advancements, right, and research, because you don't always know what you don't know.
When working with DOD, companies go through an extremely truncated process to submit their proposal, and then DOD moves forward to an award. In other cases, DOD will work directly with a company. The Defense Innovation Unit Experimental, for example, awards OTAs to firms without using a consortium as an intermediary. Both government and industry see OTAs as a way DOD can keep up with their near-peer competitors like China and Russia, which don't have an acquisition process with so much oversight or a culture based on building large, exquisite weapon systems. Professional Services Council CEO David Berteau says so much innovation has been coming from outside the government that OTAs are a great way for DOD to bring in new technologies and ideas from companies that usually don't do business with the Pentagon. But beyond the optimism, information regarding OTA agreements is hard to come by. Currently, Congress only requires the department to provide lawmakers with formal notification when DOD signs an OTA for more than $5 million. In that case, the DOD acquisition chief must also determine in writing that the requirements of OTAs are met and the OTA is essential to national security objectives. The congressional requirements also state that at least one non-traditional contractor or nonprofit research institution participates in the prototyping to a significant extent. That requirement can be sidestepped if one-third of the total cost of the prototype comes from a source other than the government. And DOD can bypass both those rules if a service acquisition executive makes a determination that exceptional circumstances justify the use of OTAs for executing innovative business models. But the law also doesn't define what a significant extent entails, and it also doesn't define what constitutes a prototype. Robert Levinson, senior policy analyst at Bloomberg, says he thinks there's a number of definitional issues with OTA statutes that are probably going to be evolving over time. Since OTAs are not contracts, they are, by definition, exempt from many laws Congress enacted over the years to protect the integrity of the procurement system. OTAs don't abide by the Procurement Integrity Act, the Drug-Free Workplace Act, the Competition and Contracting Act, and the Contract Disputes Act. And those are only a handful of the laws that don't apply. OTAs start at ground zero and then build a contract from the bottom up. Essential questions like how do you resolve disputes? Who has the right to technical data when you're done? Does the government get the rights to the project since they paid for it, or does the contractor? And what's within the scope of the contract aren't answered at the most base point of an OTA agreement. If the government and contractors forget to close every single loophole as they build the agreement, things can get messy. Plus, the agreements that the government and industry enter into, in almost every case, are kept from the public. A former congressional aide that was instrumental in the development of OTAs said DOD is pretty much regulating itself at this point. Acquisition officials say they understand the responsibility placed on them with OTA oversight and the risk that Congress might rein in the authorities if someone messes up. Lieutenant General Paul Ostrowski explains.
Everybody knows that there are always going to be people that take advantage one way or another of rules, which is why the amount of statute that covers and the amount of regulations and the amount of policies that cover the acquisition business are ginormous. Okay? We have to protect this tool. Okay? This is a gift on behalf of the Congress of the United States of America to the Department of Defense saying we trust you to get after this thing, to be more rapid, to be more agile. Don't screw this up. And guess what? We've done that. We've screwed it up. Okay, there are a couple examples out there.
And one of those recent examples almost cost taxpayers $1 billion. Tomorrow in part two of this series, we'll explain how. In Washington, Scott Massioni, federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
Find more of Scott's OTA coverage at federalnewsradio.com.